In the opening moments of the musical Waitress, we meet Jenna, not her, a waitress and brilliant baker whose life, as she tells us, is a mess. She's trapped in an abusive marriage and about to discover that she is pregnant. She does not wish to terminate the pregnancy, but does not want to raise a child with her terrible husband, Earl. So off we go, on a ride with this kind but imperfect woman, as she digs herself deeper and deeper into the hole she is trying to escape. Along the way, she copes with her unhappiness the way her mother did before her, baking pies with names like, I don't want Earl's baby pie, a quiche with brie and smoked ham, I hate my husband pie, a bittersweet chocolate pudding pie drowned in caramel, and pregnant, miserable, self-pitying loser pie, a lumpy oatmeal pie with fruitcake mashed in, flambéed, of course, along with many others, some of whose creative names and descriptions are not safe for church. Jenna decides to enter a pie baking contest with a cash prize of $20,000 in order to fund her escape from Earl. Some terrible decisions and even worse luck follow. Nearing the end of the show, when all of Jenna's plans have come crashing down, and everything is truly falling apart, she sings a song to her unborn child entitled, She Used to Be Mine. In it, she tries to explain that this is not who she used to be, but somewhere along the way, that person got lost. Every single time I hear this song, it shoots an arrow straight into my heart. Everyone I've ever talked to about this song feels this way. When I played it for my daughter, Lily, to ask if she wouldn't mind singing it for us today, she barely got halfway through listening before saying, with tears in her eyes, wow, this hits a little too close to home. Why is that? Neither I, nor Lily, nor any of my close friends have ever been trapped in abusive marriages or been in any of the specific situations that Jenna's character is in. And I only know how to bake two kinds of pie. Plain old apple and pumpkin. But something about this song speaks directly to the feelings that so many of us harbor. In particular, I think, those of us who identify as women. The feeling of losing the self that we once were. And even more insidious, the feeling that no matter what we do or how hard we try, we are just not good enough. I saw a photo on Instagram of a framed decorative print in a store that said, I am enough, and it repeated the phrase 7 times. The caption read, for only $10.99, you can let every visitor to your house know that you are struggling. Everywhere I turn lately, I see and hear this affirmation, I am enough. Are we all struggling with the idea that, as Jenna says, I'm not anything like I used to be? There are a million reasons why you might feel this loss of self. An event in your childhood, a difficult or absent relationship with a parent, a particular loss or failure, or a series of them. Perhaps you wake up one day and realize that you've been in the same unfulfilling job for the last 20 years and have no idea how to reinvent yourself. Any kind of major change in your life circumstances, moving out on your own, the birth of a child, a divorce, an empty nest, could cause you to re-examine whether or not you are living up to expectations, internal or external. Or perhaps, also like me, you battle perfectionist tendencies, which, by the way, are not actually about striving to be perfect, according to clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Hendrickson, but surprise, surprise, about never feeling good enough. Life can beat you down, and there are so many things that can make us feel unworthy. To help address these deeply individual issues, there are resources available to us, like therapy and spiritual direction. Note to self, go to therapy. But this morning, I wanted to talk about some larger societal forces at play here that affect all of us. The expectations placed on our daily lives are increasing at an exponential rate, multiplied, no doubt, by the rise of social media. We feel pressured to be the perfect parent, the perfect partner, the perfect child, the perfect employee, student, athlete, friend, performer, citizen, whatever you are, all while being deeply self-aware and self-actualized. How can we possibly do it all? We must care for ourselves and our loved ones, meeting physical, emotional, spiritual, creative, and logistical needs. We must care for our pets, our homes, our communities, fight for our failing democracy, drink plenty of water, and get at least 8 hours of sleep. Oh, and perhaps you also have a job? There's so much more, paragraphs more, that I had to delete because I was way over my word count limit. They're all good and important things, but I certainly can't do or be them all at the same time. Can anyone actually balance their endless to-dos and deal with what feels like the end of the world while staying true to themselves and their values in real life? How do we keep going when it feels like nothing we do will ever be enough? It's overwhelming and exhausting. Certain corners of the internet tell us that the solution is to add even more. Buy this organizer, wake up at 5 a.m. and implement this 90-minute morning routine. Sauna, cold plunge, journal, do more push-ups. Productivity equals worth. But also, give yourself grace. Remind yourself, I am enough. I have a confession. This particular affirmation has always rung a bit hollow for me. It can feel so empty, especially when the evidence is so clearly to the contrary. In fact, for me, it's right up there with another supremely unhelpful phrase, just calm down. The idea that if we just repeat these words and believe, we will somehow magically feel that we are enough is a tough sell. And believe me, I want to believe it. We watched a wonderfully sweet book with this very message this morning, and I think it's so important for our children. So what then? If affirmations will not suffice, how can we learn to thrive when we feel like we can never measure up? Let's look at some of our UU shared values. The value of equity declares that every person is inherently worthy and has the right to flourish with dignity, love, and compassion. We are good and worthy, just as we are. This is excellent, and I believe that all of you are enough, but sometimes it's still difficult to accept about myself. I need something more. Let's jump then to an idea that kind of shook things up for me. I was listening to a podcast interview with Lutheran minister Nadia Bolz-Weber. She was discussing this not enoughness that so many of us feel. And I was listening intently, hoping for a useful insight. You can imagine my surprise when she said, "You know what? You're not enough." What? My first reaction was shock. How dare she? But then I was flooded with relief. First of all, I was right. I am not enough. But secondly, and more importantly, maybe I don't have to be. Because here's what she said next. You are not enough, but there is enough. You are not enough, but there is enough. She continued, there's enough, and it doesn't have to be you. We all come from the same divine source. We are here, living our lumpy lives, all so full of inconsistencies and desperately in need of grace and mercy all the time. And when I don't have enough compassion to be the kind of person that I want to be, there is enough. The source that I come from is available for me to draw upon. I get to draw upon my own divine source through prayer or meditation or whatever it is, and that is enough. So I don't have to be. I don't have to have all the love, all the compassion, the mercy, the understanding, because I have access to this unlimited source of it in the divine. You are not enough, but there is enough. This is a profound idea and one that may offer deep solace. But where you use? So perhaps the image of a divine source doesn't speak to you. Even if that's the case, this idea can also be true in so many other concrete ways, particularly in the context of community. Think of your partners and friends and of all the different things you each bring to your relationships. Chances are you gravitated toward them, not just because they were like you in some ways, but because they offered something that you don't. I'm also reminded of my search for a spiritual community. One of the things that I wanted to find was a group of trusted, caring adults to help aid me in providing my children with a well-rounded spiritual upbringing, which I knew that I couldn't provide to them fully on my own. Look around at the people in this room, and I bet many of us can come up with a long list of ways that we have given and received support within this church family. Encouragement, friendship, meals in times of hardship or grief, a nudge to dig a little deeper in your self-examination. Perhaps you have reached out to Reverend Alice for pastoral care. All of these things are things that we could not have done for ourselves, but we can do them for each other. We all have such varied talents and gifts. We bring what we can to the table, but no one of us has to bring everything. And thank goodness, we're here to fill each other's gaps. Together, we create a whole. This brings us to the UU shared value of interdependence. We honor the interdependent web of all existence and acknowledge our place in it. Reverend James Ishmael Ford writes that these two values, equity and interdependence, are deeply intertwined, and that this integration is what's vital. Ours is an electric, dancing middle way, he says, between the two poles of our precious individuality and our intimate connection. But, and this is most important, not by splitting some difference, not being half individual and half communal, our way is more radical. It calls for two 100%. Or perhaps it's better to say that we are called to discover fully the one in the other. We are all about the individual and the fullest expression of that individuality, creative, powerful, even dangerous. And we are all about our radical interrelatedness, where no one exists in isolation. We are woven out of each other. We are created by each other. One thing, just this. He continues, following the way of these two truths and fully embracing what each means and how each is dependent upon the other opens a life that is dynamic, creative, and full of potential. And this is our way. So maybe that's it. We feel inadequate because we are inadequate. We can't do all of the things we think we should be doing because they were never meant to be done entirely by just one person. It truly does take a village. Our culture has placed so much emphasis on the strength of the individual at the expense of the collective, and that false narrative has failed us. We see these truths come to life in the conclusion of Jenna's story in Waitress. Following the birth of her daughter, Lulu, she is finally able to send Earl packing and also ends another relationship that was not so healthy. And of course, the grumpy old owner of the diner where she works leaves the business to her in his will. But Jenna's success was not due solely to her own grit. She had a strong group of generous friends who encouraged and supported her. They couldn't have done her work for her, but she couldn't have done it alone. We are each responsible for doing our part, but life was meant to be lived in community. When we view ourselves through that lens, perhaps it might allow us to ease up on our unrealistic expectations and redefine our sense of self with a gentler hand. Perhaps the words of the song can function not just to expose our vulnerabilities, but to act as a guide. We must understand that we are all perfect. Excuse me. We are all imperfect and keep trying anyway. We must accept that it's okay to be messy and that it's far more important that we are kind. We can acknowledge that it's hard to ask for help, but we can fight back against the loneliness of modern life by seeking out community. And we can remember that we are so many different versions of ourselves over the course of a lifetime. The girl that I was, the teenager, the young woman, and the young mother, not only did they used to be mine, but they're still a part of me. And if I'm lucky, there are many iterations to come that I will be able to call mine as well. May it be so.